Hello everyone, my name is Laura.
And my name is Anouk.
And we're the co-host of the International Student Voices podcast, the ultimate guide for studying and living in the UK.
In this episode, we're going to cover what it's like to do a placement year. For those of you who've never even heard the word before, you'll probably have to familiarise yourself with it, as it's quite a popular thing in the UK for students. So, with much further ado, we'd like to welcome our guest, Natalia, who is me and Laura's ex-flatmate from our time in Leeds, and who's currently doing her placement year. So, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi everyone. My name is Natalia, and I am half Czech, half American, and as Anouk kindly said, I was Anouk and Laura's flatmate for 3 years in Leeds, and I'm doing an integrated master's in chemical and materials engineering, and I've just completed 9 months of a placement year so far.
Great. So let's start very simply by kind of, if you can explain what a placement year is for people who are listening that have no idea.
So in a lot of degrees, you can either pick, for example, to do a year abroad or a placement year. And a placement year is a really great opportunity if you want to, for example, apply what you've learned during your degree, the theory behind it, into actual industry. So it's really important, for example, if you're doing engineering or any scientific role, to realize everything that you've learned so far.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I just had questions about the process. When do you start applying? How long it is? Do you get paid while doing your placement years? Because obviously you have your tuition fees. So do you still have to pay those tuition fees?
Yeah, so typically you start applying for a placement year either between your second and third year or third and fourth year. So I started applying for mine at the beginning of my third year back in October. And a placement year, as the name itself suggests, is typically 12 months. But if you really do enjoy it and the company allows you to, you can extend it to, for example, 15 months. So you keep continuing during the summer as well. And in terms of getting paid, mine was paid and is paid. A lot of the engineering ones are, but it depends what company you're working for. And in terms of tuition fees with the uni, you still have to pay the university because once you graduate, you have that placement year on your degree as well. And also they provide you support throughout the whole year. However, the fees are reduced, so that's a benefit.
Great. Thank you for explaining all of that. And when you started to look for placements and stuff, do you have any like recommendations of websites that you used? And also if you can just talk us through like the process and steps that you went through.
So there's typically an employability team within the university. We have one specific for sciences and engineering, which helped us a lot just because they knew which companies to target, for example, if they have a relationship already with the university. And then in terms of how I found mine, I did a lot through LinkedIn, just because you can tailor that a little bit better to what type of role you're looking for. And also you can then communicate with previous placement students to see what their experience was like. But yeah, the university does help a lot to introduce you to different websites and different career events as well, which can help put that first step forward.
And from the time you start applying as well, because I remember like you 2 years ago, my God, it seems like crazy to say 2 years ago. But when you started applying, like how long does it take generally to have an answer? Would you say that it takes a while or the process goes quite quickly?
It really depends on the application. So a lot of companies have different stages of the application process itself. So in terms of that, it really depends heavily on how they tailor through the applications. So I can't really say, but it would take any time from, say, a week to a couple months.
Yeah, no, definitely. And what generally does the application involve? Like, what do you have to fill in? Is it like your CV or actually cover letters? You had assessment centers as well. So what generally does it like include? What do you have to do?
Yeah, so the initial step is really just telling your university that you're interested in a placement year because you do have to meet a certain criteria in terms of the grades that you have to be allowed to be placed as a placement student and take that gap between two of your years at university. And then you typically go through the employability team and they help tailor your CV, your LinkedIn, help you write cover letters, and then you write all of those for the jobs you're applying to. And a lot of the stages that companies do, for example, a lot of them are skills-based, so they test your soft skills. And then once you pass those, then they start with the interview processes. Once you pass those, you can have assessment centers as well. So those are typically a lot longer, a lot more intense, and they test a lot of your skills such as teamwork, how you problem solve, how you act under pressure. They're really fun. They're also very stressful. And one advice I'd give is probably try to apply for a job you're not too interested in at the beginning, just to get those nerves out of the way and see what the process itself is like without being too heavily interested.
Yeah, it's such a heavy, like a daunting process. I feel like you need to be like quite into it. But as well, like I had a question, you mentioned having certain grades. So what grades do you, is it something specific to the university you've been to or the course you're doing? Or is it generally like a placement student are expected to achieve a certain grade to actually do a placement?
It's a bit of both. In terms of the university, they have their own criteria. It's the same for a year abroad. It just depends on if they think you're able to take that year out of your studies. And then companies themselves, of course, if you have higher grades, they are more likely to accept you. But that is not always the case because they really do look for the skills that you could bring to the company. But some of them do have that criteria of, for example, having a 2-1 or having a first. And it depends which companies you're reaching for, which placements you want.
Yeah. I also wanted to add on what you said. So you talked about the like employability team. We've also mentioned in the past that there's like a careers team at universities, and specifically at Leeds, I thought they were really good. Did you make use of any of their resources? Because I know that for anyone who has never, because I'm sure placement students, some of them have never even applied to placements before, have never gone through writing a CV and a cover letter. So did you kind of make use of their services or know anyone who has?
We were quite lucky because we had it integrated within our degree. So I remember the first year, I believe, they helped us set up a CV and a LinkedIn account. And then during our third year, while we were actually applying through the whole process, they took us through the steps and introduced us to what assessment centers are like. And then we were able to individually apply for meetings with people in the careers team. And I did a lot of practice interviews, practice assessment centers even, just to get that experience and get that feedback for how to properly answer a question, because it's a lot more complex than I'd initially thought as well.
Definitely. And talking about complex, how many placements did you have to apply to? I mean, like as your personal experience, but from what your friends' experiences, like generally, what do you... How many placements do you need to apply to? What's the common number?
So I think there's not really a common number for certain, but it really depends on the experience that you have. I know a lot of people who, for example, got a placement on their first application. That was not my case. I think I applied to 3 or 4 placements before I got accepted. And during that time as well, you really learn how to cope with rejection, which is quite hard at first. But I think one thing which was really highlighted to me, especially from the employability team, was a lot of the time it's not necessarily that you're not a right fit for them, but they know also that they might not be the right fit for you. So it's really, it's a dual way of interaction, and rejections aren't as daunting as they should be. And yeah.
I completely agree with what you're saying. So it wasn't necessarily placement, but when I was like applying for jobs and I was doing my interviews, obviously like I got rejected. And the first times, I would say especially, like it's quite tempting to think about like to feel that you're the problem in the process, but it's absolutely not the case. And I completely agree with what you're saying. It's just about coping with the stress, coping with the fact that like it happens, and also just feeling like, you know, you're going to have plenty of other opportunities, and you can also just like take this opportunity to train yourself, to just discover new things. I don't know, gain some skills as well, because like assessment centers are stressful, but they are, you learn so much on the spot. You definitely gain so much skills. So I would say that, yeah.
For sure. And even what you said, that sometimes if the company didn't choose you, maybe you weren't right for the company. And that's, I think that's really important as well, because I mean, I know some people that have started working in companies and really didn't enjoy it because they put, you know, put on a front, or like they said they really liked this, but they actually didn't. And so they didn't end up enjoying it. So I think that's also another aspect to take into account when you get rejected.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I think especially every company has their own atmosphere, and it helps a lot if you're a better fit within that. And a lot of the times the interviewers know who they're looking for because they already have in mind what team you're going to be working for, who your manager is going to be, and they're trying to find someone who will work with them as well. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad candidate or that you don't have the skills. It's more so also how to make it easier on their end in terms of how they can help you. And if they know that you might be a better fit at a different company, then, you know, they're not necessarily going to try and accept you just because you have the skills they want. And so, you know, dealing with rejection is always hard, but I think that's one area where you really can fall back on the careers department within your university, because they know how to cope with that, because other students have gone through that as well. And almost reaching out to other students and dealing through that first rejection with them is quite helpful, because now looking back at it, for me, it seems quite, you know, minimal, that whole process that you go through and how stressful it was. And, you know, I'd broken down as well and cried about it several times. But now working at the company I'm working at this year, I realize that it was so easy and comfortable for me to fit in. And that wouldn't have necessarily happened at a different company that I'd applied to before.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think perhaps like another layer of difficulty is the fact that you did all this during your studies, that you were doing both at the same time. Could you talk us through the kind of like maybe how you organize yourself and how you managed to deal with both workloads at the same time?
Yeah, so towards the end of it, I think I had a little bit of a system where I had my CV tailored to a lot of the positions that I was applying for. And then I had a couple cover letters already that I'd written for summer placements and other opportunities. So I would change a couple of the paragraphs, but keep the main structure the same. So I always had, you know, a structure about a paragraph about myself, a paragraph about some of the skills that I could use during that placement, and some case studies with that. So for example, projects that I've worked on or experiences that I've had. And then another important part to include is always a paragraph about the company itself, so they know you spent the time researching them. And so when I already had that structure in mind, it was a lot easier for me to write these cover letters and to apply quicker. And I'd always just block out, for example, an hour every couple of days to just go through applications and see if there were any updates. But I would definitely say don't spend every single day on it, because it becomes quite overwhelming. And I know some students who, you know, would be so focused on it that they wouldn't be able to focus on their studies. And to be honest, that's a lot more important during your third year. And just taking that time out every once in a while to look at the applications and not just be fully focused on that, I think is quite important.
Yeah, I completely agree, because I was watching videos, you know, about advices, about how to cope with like the application process, because obviously you have uni like at the same time. And I agree with what you're saying, because like those videos are about saying like, oh, focus on it, like dedicate an entire day, because, you know, you want to make sure that like you highlight every single detail about your application, why you like really like the company. But obviously you don't really have the time as well, because like you have deadlines, etc. going on. So I think it's a balance between like actually putting down, like sitting down and just, you know, working on your like a CV cover letter. But it's also about like thinking about your studies at the same time, because mm-hmm. obviously you want to like prioritize both. So
yeah,
it's a nice balance.
Definitely. And in terms of like more specifics as well, for anyone wondering, is there like a moment throughout the year when you started to think about it? And is there like a moment where companies have like the most opportunities, people are most likely to apply, from like before the summer of your third year to like towards like the summer at the end of your third year? When about, would you say?
I would say, again, it depends on what sort of industry you're going into. But typically September, October time is when companies usually post if they have any opportunities available. But saying that, it's not really that limiting, because I know people who, for example, applied in April of their third year and still got positions for June. So it seems quite intimidating in October when a lot of applications come out, but you definitely still have the whole year to work on it if, for example, you don't find a placement by the end of December.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I think we're now going to move on kind of more in terms of like now that you're living through the placement, kind of what that's like. How are you finding living in a different city, moving kind of, you know, from 3 years of university, living with the same people, seeing the same people, and then going somewhere completely different?
So moving to a different city is always difficult. I think it's always going to be difficult. But as I'd already done that, moving to a different city, to a different country when I went to university, it was a little bit easier. I think the biggest challenge with this was because of the industry I work in, it's quite in secluded areas. So we couldn't find, for example, student housing. So it was difficult to share with other placement students. And that was the most challenging part, was finding accommodation. Companies usually help you with this. We did get some recommendations for that from the company that I'm working with now. And I am sharing a house with another placement student, which is quite helpful as well. And in terms of moving to a different city, I wouldn't really call it a city. I live in a village right now, which is very, very different to Leeds. And at the beginning, I really missed, you know, how social Leeds is. And there's a lot of people. And of course, people you know, people you live with, people sharing the same experience as well. And then moving to kind of a complete polar opposite was quite a big change. But I've really enjoyed it because it's really emphasized that gap from my studies. And yeah, it's been a great experience so far.
Yeah, and I feel like it also means that you get like properly the authentic English experience living around English people in a small English village, that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, definitely.
Thinking about the positives.
Yeah.
I know, we always do.
And I was also wondering, how well integrated are placement students with companies?
So for our company in particular, we had an induction week at the very beginning, and I know a lot of companies do this, where they basically gather all the placement students for that given year, and you do various team building exercises, and you get to know more about the company. And it was a really great opportunity just socially to really connect with people that you're going to be working with and share the experiences that you're having. And, you know, we have a group chat with all of us, and we do a lot of things together.
That's really nice. I feel it's also really important if you're like in a new city, as you said, like it's quite a small city. So if you can actually meet with other interns, have things organized, it makes it more like welcoming, and the integration process, of course, like it makes it more smooth. So it's so important, I feel like. And also I wanted to ask, so do you yourself, like apart from the company you're working at, do you do stuff with other placement students?
Yeah, so actually within our company, we have different social events. So we have, for example, Mario Kart Mondays, which we do every week over lunch. And then we have board games on Wednesdays, and we have netball after work and badminton after work. But then us just as students, we plan a lot of outings on our own as well. And I think one of the reasons that that's been quite big this year is just purely because we live in a village. So there's not much to do. So we've planned trips, and we try to go out to cities nearby. And another good thing as well is because our company had placement students the year before and the year before that as well, they've come back now for permanent positions. And so they're sort of in the similar age range to us. So we've built quite a good social group.
And more of like a general question, do you feel like you're more confident in the professional world now that you've done a placement and you've done like a 9-to-5?
I definitely say one of the main benefits of doing a year in industry, as we call it, is just gaining the confidence of, you know, speaking to clients, speaking to professionals, gaining that experience in networking, but also realizing that you have responsibilities and seeing how all of that fits together. And, you know, mine is also lab based as well. And I've only been used to lab experience within the university or within high school or within different countries, but not in the UK. And so getting that experience firsthand for a whole year has been really valuable. And it's been really great. And I would definitely recommend anyone to do it, just because I feel a lot more prepared and confident to go into my master's year now. And I feel like I can use those experiences to really understand which job I'd also like to apply for in the future.
Okay, so you've mentioned a lot of benefits. Are there any others that you can think of as well that come with doing a placement year?
So I had a really great experience, and I'd say opportunity to go to different conferences, which is something, you know, as a student, you can't necessarily afford. But while you're a placement student, you can ask your company to help you, for example, be put on different trainings or go to conferences and really experience that side of working as well. And, you know, just reaching out to different people, gaining contacts, building your own network, that's been really valuable. And just following on from that as well, talking to people has been one of the most important parts of this whole placement year, because you gain so much knowledge just from their experiences and seeing what you want to do more. Because I know it's really hard as a 20-something year old to figure out, for example, what way you want your career to go. But learning from other people that you work with or that you meet through these networking events, seeing their career paths is a really great opportunity to show you what is out there and what you can do. Yeah, I'd say that's another benefit.
For sure. And I was also wondering, do you stay in contact with the university at any point during your placement?
Yeah, so when you actually get an offer from a company and you sign your contract, all of that has to go through the university, because they also need to double check that the placement you're doing is relevant to your degree, or at least is meeting all of their safety criteria. That's a really big part of them acknowledging your placement year. And then once that's completed and all your contracts are signed, you get assigned a university supervisor, who typically is either your university academic tutor or someone, for example, that taught you a module, but someone close to you. And they check up on you every now and then during the year. It can be as frequent or not frequent as you want, but you do have two check-ins that are obliged through the university. And that's at the beginning of your placement, where the supervisor also meets your line manager at the company. And this can either be an in-person visit, so you take them around your office or the labs that you're working in, or it can be online. And they go through a checklist to see everything's going okay, that you're transitioning smoothly, that you're happy really is the main concern, and feeling like you're fitting in well. And then there's one towards the middle to end of your placement as well, where it's just a continuation of that, if everything is still going okay. And then throughout the year, what I had to do was write a brief report about the skills that I've developed. And it's mostly a reflection of, you know, the experiences that I've gained and how that's helped me and developed me. And it's a very personal piece of just looking back at the whole year, and also a poster, again, summarizing, for example, projects that you've worked on, what you feel was really valuable to you, and sort of just summarizing the whole experience. I'd also like to say that with some placements, you do get the opportunity to return after your degree. So they can offer you a job if they feel like you've been a really valuable part of their company, and if they'd like to keep you on. They might do an interview process with you. So that's always something to look out for, is if you really do enjoy the place you work at, you can potentially have an offer from them for when you return from university, which is a really lucky thing to have, because you have that job security while doing your master's. But again, I know some people, for example, that didn't enjoy their placement. At least it's one of those years that eliminates something from your career that you necessarily don't want to do. That's also a good point of view on that. So yeah.
And to kind of like finish everything off, do you have any last advice that you like would want to share with anyone who's interested in doing a placement year?
I would say definitely try and talk to other students who have done it. It's something I did in my second year before I went into my third year. Even a lot of students that return, they like to share their experience. They have these posters and reports that they can share with you. So just to gain information from them, see if, for example, the company they worked at would be something of interest to you, or reach out to companies, reach out to them through LinkedIn. I know a lot of people are always very welcome and want to talk to you about it. So that is one thing that definitely I'd recommend to do in your second year. And then in terms of third year, just don't try and apply for as many companies as you can at the very beginning, because it can feel very daunting and overwhelming. But try and space it out as much as you can, because that way it's easier to balance with your degree as well. And also, a rejection doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. It just means that it wasn't the right opportunity for you and another one will come up.
I think you phrased it all very nicely, and I think that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We hope this gives anyone who was unfamiliar with placements, or who was thinking of choosing a course that offers placements, or who was even debating whether to do a placement or not next year, kind of an idea of what to expect. Please let us know if you have any further questions on the topic on Instagram at ISV Podcast, and listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and our website, isvpodcast.com.
See you in 2 weeks.